Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side. It ain't the left side or the right side.
Thank you, Solo D. Welcome to another episode of On the Fin Side here with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. I'm Brian Kat, NFL. Paul is Fanatic underscore pick on Twitter. This is our final positional breakdown today, looking at the defensive back position. We're combining the cornerbacks and safeties for a couple of reasons here. Number one, cornerback, after the Byron Jones signing, looks like the lowest need on the Dolphins roster. And secondly, this tends to be a positionless defense after you get past Xavier Howard and Byron Jones on those boundaries. But going back to Byron Jones, we haven't had a huge chance to talk about him, Paul, throughout the offseason here. This is one player that not only does he fit exactly what the Dolphins are looking for in that man coverage opposite Xavier Howard, but he's also one player in free agency that their original team with the Cowboys did not want to lose, regardless of the money.
Yeah, he's a guy you don't want to throw at, but you don't want to throw at the opposite side of the field either. And I've been a fan of his since, I think his freshman year. So it's a very exciting scenario for me to see him end up in Aqua. He was a guy I wanted right off the rip. I know they had initially looked at him at safety, and I think you and I had a conversation when he was coming out in the draft here on the show. And one of the things I said was, you put him at corner. So if these GMs would have just listened to me positionally, they would have really maximized their first round talent a lot earlier on. And guys like Eric Flowers and Byron Jones, both of who ended up with Miami, no less, at the position that I said they should be in.
Well, congratulations to you, Paul.
I did it right there, didn't I?
Yeah, not too bad. Let's look at the rest of the cornerback class here. We're going to whiz through these because of Xavier Howard and Byron Jones. When you look at the rest of the class, not a lot has changed among the top 10 or 11 cornerbacks. I mean, Jeff Okuda and C.J. Henderson are going to go in the top 15 picks. And then you get into a group of very good players, too. Christian Fulton from LSU, Trayvon Diggs from Alabama, Jeff Gladney from TCU, A.J. Terrell from Clemson, Jalen Johnson from Utah, Damon Arnett from Ohio State, Noah Igbinoghene from Auburn, Cameron Dantzler from Mississippi State, and Hall from Virginia. So those players are projected to go within the first, 50 to 75 picks. But looking at it, given what the Dolphins have spent here at cornerback, I don't see them spending a lot of draft resources trying to get a player in the first or second day.
I don't really see it either unless the value exceeds the pick by almost a round. If you're sitting there in the third round and Arnett is on the board, he'd be hard to decline. If you're there in the second and Diggs is on the board or Henderson, it'd be hard to decline. But again, it's a tough sell. Like if Miami's at five and, all hell breaks loose, quarterbacks are gone and Jeff Okuda is sitting there on the board. I love Jeff Okuda, but he's just not a fit for Miami as far as a top 10 pick right now goes, considering they've got X and Byron locked up for years, as well as Nick Needham in the fold. And, I also look at the depth at positions like corner and safety, and they're like the running back class for me. As good as there are name-wise at the top, there's a hell of a lot of talent dispersed down to where you can get those guys in the fifth, sixth round even potentially, and have them be immediate day one contributors.
You bet. And Jeff Okuda is somebody that we talked about as he was fourth on my board, third on yours, a couple of months ago. But after Byron Jones, Xavier Howard, you're quite honestly not going to spend the fifth overall pick or any trade down pick to get Jeff Okudah. He's probably going to go in the first 3 to 5 selections, like you said. CJ Henderson's also going to go in that range too. You know, I don't expect the Dolphins to draft a cornerback in the first really 3 rounds, but 3 players I'm looking at that would make a lot of sense because they have played the slot position and played at a high level in college. Number one, Christian Fulton from LSU. He specializes in man and press coverage, and he's somebody that's, you know, was projected to be a top 15-20 pick before the year. Might be sliding down just a little bit into that second round area. If he ends up going down to that 56 spot with the Dolphins, might be a consideration. Jalen Johnson, same way. Tough, instinctive player out of Utah. Noah Igbinoghene is an interesting guy because he just turned 20 years old here 5 months ago out of Auburn. And when he got on the field after transitioning from wide receiver to cornerback, he played very, very well. But then the other part of that, too, is are you really going to spend a second-round pick on a cornerback who's transitioning from that wide receiver position just to be your number 3 cornerback? Probably not. So more than likely, Paul, we're looking at day 3 for the cornerback spot.
We are, and it's interesting to me because I know you mentioned Noah. I know you mentioned a few other guys. I'm somebody that really likes a lot of those long, lean corners with the arms that they can get into you and jam you up at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, they're big physical guys. And throughout this process, the more I watched tape, the more it seemed like the players I liked were 6 foot, 5'11", 5'10", 5'9", 5'8", even. You know, guys like Noah, guys like, oh God, there's so many of them here. Christian Fulton, you know, Jalen Johnson's not the tallest. Jeff Gladney, I'm a huge fan and have been throughout the entire process. I think he's underrated comparatively, but that's based on the talent that's available out there. But a guy that I you know, I'm going to jump right to my deep cuts because this guy's right there on the man crush list. The fact that you mentioned, you know, the Dolphins need the slot corner role a little bit more than they need the boundary corner role, which is absolutely correct, is Amik Robertson. I know you've got a lot you want to say on him too, but what a freaking monster. If you turn the tape on with this guy, you're not going to want to turn it off. I mean, he's an interception machine. He's a thumper. He reads plays well. He had an interception in the flat. I forget who it was against.
It was against Colin Johnson there in Texas. And yeah, Amik Robertson, 14 interceptions in the last 3 years, 5'8", 187 pounds. And he also has the versatility to play safety and nickelback. So the question with Amik Robertson is, even though he's not a fast player, is he going to be able to cover receivers up the field? Because speed is such a big deal here at the cornerback spot. And some players I'm looking at too is, you know, if we're talking about that slot role, Darnay Holmes from UCLA is somebody that's quite interesting. He looks purely like an undersized slot cornerback, but plays with a chip on his shoulder. He took 20 credit hours here the last couple of years and certainly has shown some playmaking skills. Javaris Davis, the younger cousin of Vontae Davis, is somebody that was invited to the Senior Bowl and showed that playmaking ability, was one of the best players at the Senior Bowl too. Kendall Wilder is somebody that seems to fit that mold as well. Cornerback from Georgia Southern, ran a 4.42 and can certainly play the outside, can play the inside. So a lot of those third, fourth cornerbacks. And when you look at the Patriots of years past, they seem to draft a cornerback in the second or third round every year, even though they have a fully stocked depth chart among the top four.
They do. And you know, a couple more guys, LeVert Hill out of Michigan, Legarius Sneed at Louisiana Tech, both exciting to watch. Troy Pride was a guy I liked going into the Senior Bowl, and I thought he had a good week and did very well there. And I think he could be somebody that, while he's only played boundary in college, can make that move to the slot position. I don't know if you're going to put him in at safety as much, but he definitely could do it. Javelin Guidry, is there ever been a better name for a guy coming out of the secondary? I hate to put it that way.
Oh, he's fast, but, too.
Oh, man, he's a burner. It's he is one that I wouldn't be disappointed in. I think he needs a little bit of developmental work, but he'd get the chance in spades, and he can make up for it with his speed. If he were to come to Miami, he'd get that time to work it in behind Byron and Needham and X and God. Got a lot of guys.
Yeah, there are. And the Dolphins are going to need a lot of guys, because the most frustrating thing, Paul, would be for the Dolphins to spend all this money on Xavien Howard and Byron Jones as the outside cornerbacks, and then you see all these defensive backs getting chewed up inside. That's why it's so important to stockpile the roster with these defensive backs. I mean, Eric Rowe and Bobby McCain were converted from cornerback to safety and project as starters for next year. You know, you've also got Ty Hayes, you've got Nick Needham, they signed Clayton Feldgelum, so they have a lot of very good players at that defensive back spot. But what I'm more excited about is the safety position, because this is where I start to get really excited about the possibility of taking a free safety, either a 26, 39, or 56, and moving Bobby McCain down to that nickelback position.
Yeah, I mean, it's maybe moving him down to nickelback, maybe having him be a little bit of a hybrid. I'm okay with either of those. I like McCain a lot, and he does give you the flexibility. I do think he can grow a little more into that role at free safety if need be, but he also can move down and do some fun things and be a movable piece for Flores and his defense. The safety position I'm really excited about, and I look at it a little bit differently than some of the folks out there. I like Xavier McKinney. I like Grant Delpit. I really do. But I think this is a position with so much depth. Guys like Kyle Duggar, who you can probably grab in the late second, early third, if you get a shot at him, or even Jeremy Chinn, who's starting to creep up the draft boards a little bit too high for my liking. But he's the guy that I've been watching through this whole process, and I think could really come in and do a lot of things for you at that safety position, but still be able to play that free safety as well.
Yeah, I'm willing to even go a little bit more crazy with you at the safety position, because Ashton Davis might be my favorite player in the whole draft. Rangy free safety, who I think would have been a first rounder if he was able to work out. If he had not been injured and gone to the Senior Bowl, I think he would have made a big impression. Gerald Alexander, the Dolphins' defensive backs coach, coached him last year at California. Very rangy kid, similar to Jesse Bates from the Bengals a couple of years ago. He has a big playmaking free safety, but he's also willing, unlike Bates, to come up and support the run. The only hashtag with him is that he's 23 years old. Antoine Winfield Jr. from Minnesota brings a lot of great game film. And if you watch him, very, very physical safety, and he can also play nickelback. And if you're telling me that the Dolphins can get Ashton Davis and Antoine Winfield with two of those first five picks, I'm going to take that all day. He has nickel, free safety, strong safety, versatility. The question with him is he going to be able to stay healthy playing that same physical brand of football? But yeah, Grant Delpit and Xavier McKinney are really the safe options here. You know, Delpit, I've come full circle on, because he went from overrated for me before the season to off the radar after a poor 2019 year. But then I learned he had a high ankle sprain, missed a lot of tackles, but he has incredible football IQ and range. So yeah, I mean, you look at those first four guys, Ashton Davis, Antoine Winfield, Grant Delpit, and Xavier McKinney. For me, those are good football players. And then the small school players, like you talked about, available possibly in the late second, early third round. Very interesting too.
Yeah. And you look at it, it's the safety position goes very deep this year. If you're looking for, and this is going to sound crazy to a lot of folks, because I know we've all been Rashad Jones fans for a while. I think the only reason he didn't see the field a lot last year was just due to the injuries. I think Brian Flores would have had a lot of fun deploying Rashad Jones in Rashad Jones-like ways. And for that strong safety spot, guys like Antoine Brooks and Kaliki Hudson are two guys that really need to be that safety in the box type role. And so they don't preclude you from taking that free safety as well. It's, and given the depth at the safety spot this year, you really can go out and grab two of them and have a role for both in this defense that improves the hell out of the secondary to go along with Byron, to go along with X, to go along with Bobby McCain through the point of the slot corner, and to go along with Eric Rowe. And Brooks and Kaliki Hudson are both guys that can come up and be fierce run defenders that can do okay-ish enough in coverage that you've got to account for them.
Yeah, and even if they're not that full-time strong safety, they might be able to be a nickel linebacker. And the players that you talked about, Antoine Brooks and Kaliki, they're, you know, players you might be able to get in the fifth round. So that would be incredible value. One of my favorite players in this draft, too, out of Utah, is Terrell Burgess. He can play nickelback, free safety, incredible awareness, and he surprised a lot of people by running a 4.46. And if you watch him on tape, he's somebody that I think Brian Flores and Josh Boyer would like at that defensive back spot. But you have to fill these positions among that, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 with those type of players. And another guy as well as Kyvon Wallace from Clemson, you know, even though he's not the, you know, biggest guy, the rangiest guy, he has a lot of experience there as a big time defensive back. And even when you get down into the, you know, 5th, 6th, 7th round too, you've got Geno Stone from Iowa, Aloe Gilman from Notre Dame, J.R. Reed from Georgia, Brandon Jones from Texas, Jordan Fuller from Ohio State. So a lot of big school players as well at that safety position who could show a lot of intelligence and maybe even be that Daron Harmon type of Patriots defensive back.
Yeah, J.R. Reed's one that I really, really like throughout this entire process. I mean, you already know this. I think our listeners do too. I mean, I've been doing my little mock drafts since about October for this year, just enjoying it. And J.R. Reed was a guy that was a constant presence in October, and even through some of the ones I've done in the past couple of weeks. He's a guy that's slid value-wise. He's a solid, if not spectacular player, and really, really serves as a fit for what Miami needs right now. In addition to him, you've got a couple other guys like Reggie Floyd, who can do a little bit more run support, but is a little less spectacular against the pass. God, I'm blanking on the names right now. You already mentioned Kayvon Wallace, but Sheehan Carter from Alabama, who can slide into the slot a little bit, as well as play safety. And so you can disguise your defenses with him on the field. You know, those move pieces really, and I know that's a theme for us, but it holds true, really hold value for Brian Flores and the type of defense he wants to run. The more formations he can run with the personnel he's got on the field without subbing, the more he seems to gravitate towards those players. So
yeah, well, you're exactly right on that, because it's hard to picture these guys in that certain role. I mean, we expected Bobby McCain to be just a cornerback last year. Same thing with Eric Rowe. And they were safeties at the end of the year. Stephen Parker, it was the same way. He was the third safety. I mean, and then you started picking up players off the street like Kay Hayes and like Nick Needham, to play those backup cornerback roles. So Josh Boyer and Brian Flores have shown that ability to develop these cornerbacks. So the big question remains is, you know, can they develop who's on the roster, or should they be spending resources in that third through seventh round to get some talent infused in there?
I think they can do both. I really do. I expect with 14 draft picks, some of these draft picks are going to wash out on the roster before the season kicks off. And, you know, it's just a numbers game at that point. I don't expect that every single one of the draft picks makes it. And I think there's going to be a few surprises amongst the players that a lot of folks consider safe on this roster as we move through camp. And as some of these guys develop, listen, and impress. You know, you show me a player that works hard and shows a flash of talent, I'll show you a guy they'll keep. You show me a guy that they decide that they're done with, which is part of the reason why I'm not fully giving up on Josh Rosen yet. They have no qualm admitting their mistake, cutting ties, and moving on. You want further proof of that? Look back at Isaiah Prince last year. Look at Isaiah Prince and tell me that they will not move on from a guy in a heartbeat, even if it's somebody that's shown some promise for development, once they decide that they are done with that player. So, yeah, it's they're getting that ruthlessness, but with loyalty that you saw from the past over the last 20 years. And so you're going to see a mix of both, and I do expect Miami to take, you know, not just the corner or two, but possibly two or more safeties with the 14 picks they have in this draft.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I see the Dolphins drafting two or three defensive backs here on day three, one of which, this might be the one player I raise my hand and say the Dolphins are going to take, and that's Harrison Hand, the cornerback slash safety out of Temple. He is somebody that if you were to draw up a player that was out of place at cornerback and can tackle well enough and fit the measurables to play safety, he would be that guy. And I credit Kyle Krabs from the Draft Dudes podcast for tipping me off on this guy. A very solid player who is thick in the hips and can play in the slot and can tackle very, very well. I could see him being that fifth, sixth, or seventh defensive back that we've talked about. Anybody else stick out to you here, Paul, at defensive back?
No, I'm just going to actually jump in here with a quick just reminisce on the one guy that like I told you before the show, guy I wanted to talk about, guy I'm going to reminisce on because he's a late round, possibly undrafted player according to most sites and draft boards. But I'll tell you, it's if Miami can come out of this draft with Amik Robinson or Robertson and slot him into that secondary, I think he's a guy that Flores would have fun moving around and ruining people's day just because he's got such a good skill set, plays with a chip on his shoulder, plays fearless but smart, and plays so much faster than his 40-time reads. I mean, his 40-time wasn't that slow that it's to the point that it's a deterrent for the guy. I mean, you see guys run a 4.4 and get referred to as running fast, and he ran, what, a 4.49, I think it was, and gets referred to as slow. He makes up for it with his football smarts and instincts, and I'll take that every day.
So I'll put you on the spot here, Paul. 56, 70, 141. Where are you thinking about Amik Robertson?
If the Dolphins are as sold on him as I am, I could see them making me grab in the fourth, but I think fifth round is a sweet spot for Amik. I think he's still there because of his size, because of the depth of the position. So fifth round, I would snatch him. You know, if he's on the board, I'm running to the podium. I'm going to be salivating, saying, just put the pick in, kind of like I did years ago with Jay Ajayi once I saw he was still on the board. Fifth round is the sweet spot for him. For me.
Yeah, fourth, fifth round for Harrison Hand, Amik Robertson is exactly where I would want to take these types of players, because one part of it is that Brian Flores and Josh Boyer have been so good at developing these players, but it's also good to get an influx of talent. And the faster these players run and the better they are in man coverage, the more likely they are to be Dolphins in day three of the draft. And that's going to do it for our breakdown of the defensive back spot here. And this is our final spot here in our positional breakdown, Paul. So I have to ask
you. What, no punters? No punters?
Well, Braden Mann's going to be a fifth-round pick of the Dolphins. That's already set in stone.
You got to at least give Mann a review. He kicks the shit out of the ball. There we go. We reviewed the punter. All right.
So,
sorry,
one last question. Yeah. What is your, given what's going on out there, what is your game, what's going to be your draft day ritual this year?
Man, I'm torn. I've gotten invited to a bunch of these Zoom party things that some of the Dolphin fans are putting on.
Don't go.
I've got some thoughts in my head right now. I think I'm going to talk about them on another episode. I think.
Okay.
We'll get back to you on it.
And there's a lot of draft day virtual parties going on out there, and that couldn't warm my heart more. I hope this has provided a necessary distraction for a lot of people, really. For me, I'm inviting one friend over who every year he's a Bucks fan, and I'm ordering 8 Popeye's chicken sandwiches, having a bottle of Captain Morgan. And Paul and I are going to do a show later on to recap the Dolphins' 3 first round picks or any picks they make in the first round. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. I'm Brian Cat NFL. Paul is Fanatic_pick on Twitter. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the Fin side. Solo D, take us home.
It ain't the left side or the right side, then it must be the Fin side. It ain't the left side or the right side, then it must be the Fin side. Listen, Dolphins fans across the land all tuning in to see what Brian, Cat, and Paul about to do again.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.